Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. You know, one of the most iconic television programs in history is The Twilight Zone, a show that originally aired from 1959 to 1964. Now, the program followed in the tradition of earlier TV shows like Tales of Tomorrow, Science Fiction Theater, as well as radio's The Weird Circle, Dimension X, X-1, and the radio work of Serling's heroes, Norman Corwin and Arch Obler. It was a mix of drama, psychological thriller, fantasy, science fiction, suspense, and horror every week for five seasons. Now, after 156 episodes, the Writers Guild of America recognized The Twilight Zone to be one of the best-written television series of all times. Serling was posthumously inducted into the Television Hall of Fame in 1985, the Science Fiction Hall of Fame in 2008, and countless Peabody, Emmy, and Golden Globe Awards. Now, Rod Serling passed away almost 40 years ago, but his daughter, Ann Serling, has carried the torch, and she joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Ann.
Good morning, Dave.
I think all the way back then when those shows were produced, nobody really knew, you know, especially in the late 50s, early 60s, what kind of longevity some of these shows would eventually have. And the networks, you know, after only having three, four channels back then, the variety that's out there, that this show is still a standout.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was difficult to even get it going, you know, with the way censors were and sponsors. So it was tricky.
So CBS purchased a teleplay in 1958. So this is a little bit before The Twilight Zone began. It's something your father wrote and hoped to produce as a pilot of a weekly series. It was called The Time Element. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, The Time Element was bought by CBS, and CBS shelved it for a year. And then it was bought by, I think his name was Bert Gannett, who worked for Desilu Studios. And because Bert was looking for good shows, and he wanted one of my dad's. And so they aired The Time Element, and I guess at the time it received more mail than any other show that Desilu Productions had aired that year.
His writing for the series, you know, it was always mysterious. It was always full of drama, sometimes at the edgier seat, sometimes a little horror. But he always splashed in a little bit of humor in there. And really, when you were watching these shows, I think they were very relatable because they always somehow tied into real life and real life situations. And even though it would go off into a completely different turn, that's what made this series so exciting.
I think you're right, and I think, you know, again, he wanted to write meaningful scripts and relevant scripts, and because he'd had so much difficulty before The Twilight Zone, in fact, his quote was that an alien could say what a Democrat or a Republican couldn't. He wrote, like you said, relatable scripts, and, you know, that dealt with social issues and moral issues and you know, important things that are sadly still so relevant today.
Well, plus he wrote. Now, I mean, this is something else, too. When a series creator creates a show, I mean, they usually have a group of writers. He wrote like 2/3 of the series episodes for the entire run.
Yeah, there were 156 altogether, of which he wrote 92.
Wow.
And, you know, the other great writers were Earl Hamner and George Clayton Johnson and Matheson and
Ray Bradbury. I mean, the names were incredible.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty seamless team of writers, and they all got along, and
But I think that's what makes when people talk about comedy, you know, the writers don't usually get its due, the actors do. When you talk about a classic comedy like a Dick Van Dyke Show or Andy Griffith or an I Love Lucy, you know, everyone talks about Lucy or Dick Van Dyke or Mary Tyler Moore or whatever, but when it comes to drama, and because there wasn't a steady actor in there, except for your father's presence in every show, you know, the writers really get the recognition. And I discovered it. It was airing on WGN in the late 70s, like at 10 o'clock at night. And I was a kid. I mean, I was maybe 10, 11 years old. And I've been hooked ever since. But, I mean, everything you see in this series, you know, the acting was great and everything else. But it's really one of the best written shows in television history.
Well, thank you. And again, my father would have been so surprised, you know, that the Writers Guild voted it one of the three top best shows a year ago. He would have just been so honored and humbled by that.
What was the reason during the production, Anne, and I'm sure you've done your research on this, there were some episodes that were done on video instead of film. It's such a difference of quality. And one of them was the Art Carney Night of the Meek, their big Christmas episode. It was done like almost it was very poor quality. Why did they do it at that point?
Well, apparently, you know, I didn't know this, of course, at the time, but apparently they switched because they for budget reasons, and they wanted to save money, and it was not a good idea by any means.
Yeah, it was six episodes. It was just six episodes for them. It was 22, Static, The Whole Truth, The Lateness of the Hour, The Night of the Meek, and Long Distance Call. Did your dad have any favorite episodes? I mean, I know that's really hard, especially when you're writing almost 100 of them, of one of the most iconic television series. But did he have some favorites?
Well, I know that he liked Time Enough at Last and, you know, of course, Walking Distance and Willoughby. My dad said that he had a propensity to deal with sort of nostalgic themes, and certainly Walking Distance and Willoughby, you know, were, I think, two of the best ones as well.
Yeah, so one of my favorites was Willoughby as well, and then, and I just watched it the other day, is To Serve Man, which I thought was one of the creepiest episodes ever.
Right, yeah. Another one he wrote that Des had revisited about an SS officer who goes back to a concentration camp and gets his due, which I think was an extremely powerful episode.
But there was a ton of guest stars in these shows, too. I mean, people who really just got their television career started made appearances on The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, that's pretty stunning, isn't it? Robert Redford, you know, was one. James Dean.
Now, The Twilight Zone, the movie, it was produced by Steven Spielberg, Dan Aykroyd, Albert Brooks, John Lithgow, Vic Morrow, Scatman Crothers. There were three classic episodes remaining here. That one, I must admit, I enjoyed it, but it was because they were the original episodes from the series.
Right, but, you know, they took license with, or that's not the word I'm looking for. It's a Good Life, that one. I think, you know, they sort of bastardized that one. And I was, in all honesty, disappointed by the movie for all the reasons we were just talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's very difficult to redo something that was so extraordinary in its time.
Well, now when I read that Leonardo DiCaprio is planning to make a new movie with Warner Brothers, as The Twilight Zone is his favorite TV series as well. So, you know, I'm still going to hold true and watch my favorite episodes, and I'm going to be pretty happy with that. But there were board games, there were video games, pinball games, novels, short stories, comic books. There's so many spinoffs, and even a 2002 radio series by Carl Amari. From your perspective, you know, doesn't it speak of the success of the show?
Absolutely. And like I said, no one would have been more surprised than my father. And he would have been, you know, so humbled.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your dad's feelings? What were your dad's feelings about Night Gallery? Did he enjoy doing that show as well?
You know, I think initially he had great aspirations for it, but unlike The Twilight Zone, he did not have creative control over Night Gallery, and it turned out to be a tremendous disappointment for him. That said, there were some great episodes. They're Tearing Down Tim Riley's Bar was, I think, a beautiful script and one of my dad's favorites, and one that was nominated for an Emmy as well. Again, dealing with the theme of going back in time.
You can get box sets of the series and seasons in Blu-ray as well at Amazon.com. And for more on the series, you can go to CBS.com and sci-fi.com. That's SYFY.com. And for more on Ann Serling, you can visit her at Serling.com. Ann, thanks so much for spending some time with us and sharing those memories.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks so much.